Good morning. I'm going to call this Tuesday, April 8th, committee hearing for the State Government Finance and Policy Committee. We have a quorum. Yay, team. And I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes from April 3rd. Vice Chair Davis.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the minutes from April 3rd. Any comments? All in favor? Aye. Those opposed? Minutes are approved. Members, today we are going to have the walkthrough of House File 2783. This is the State Government Finance Omnibus Bill that Chair Cleburne and I worked on together. Before we start, I will just say thank you to our nonpartisan staff. We are very grateful for your help. We're also thankful to our own staff. I know that the co-chair feels the same way. as you see, other bills are not chugging along. I think ours did quite nicely. And just wanted to make sure that we thanked our staff once again. So, Chair Cleburne, you can move the bill before the committee, and I believe you have a DE.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would move that House File 2783 be before us, and I would move the DE2, please.
Okay, the chair has moved the bill to come before us and would move that the DE2 be adopted to put the bill in the shape that she would request. Any comments, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The amendment is engrossed. Chair Cleburne, to your bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would just like to say for the public who may be watching this and may not understand exactly how this process works, today we will walk through House File 2783 as amended by the DE2. We will take public testimony, hear concerns, praise, whatever people might have for the bill. And then on Thursday, we will come back, mark up the document, and hopefully be able to pass it on to Ways and Means. So that's the process that we have in mind for today. So the House File 2783, as amended, begins with Article 1, which is the State Government Appropriations. You will see that on line 1.17, there is funding for the legislature. On line 2.21, there is the Office of the Governor and Lieutenant Governor appropriation. The State Auditor can be found on line 3.9. The Attorney General's appropriation is on 3.13. Secretary of State is on line 3.24. The State Board of Investment is on line 3.28. Administrative Hearings, 3.29. Minute is on line 4.1, Administration 4.18, Capital Architecture Board 6.29, Minnesota Management and Budget is on 3.31, Revenue 7.4, Gambling Control Board line 7.34, Racing Commission, which is a special revenue account, I believe is on 8.4, Lottery 8.8, Amateur Sports Commission, 8.14, Council of Minnesotans of African Heritage, line 8.15. You will see the Council on Latino Affairs on line 8.17. The appropriation for Asian Pacific Minnesotans is on 8.18, Indian Affairs, 8.20. Council for LGBTQIA is on 8.21. Historical Society, 8.23, Board of Arts, 9.13, Humanities Center is 9.31, Board of Accountancy, line 10.6, Architecture, Engineering, Landscaping is on 10.17, Board of Cosmetology Examiners is on line 10.11, Board of Barbers Examiners, 10.13, Children, Youth, and Families, 10.14, general contingent accounts are on line 10.19. The next sections 32 through 37 have to do with retirement, or sections 32 through 36 have to do with retirement pensions. That will be addressed, I believe, also in the pensions bill later. Section 37 is Government and Citizen Services, which extends the availability of an appropriation from 2023, and that is for the Capital Mall Development Framework. You will see Section 38, which is an extension of monies appropriated to the St. Anthony Cutwolf study. That is just an extension. It is not new money. And those are found on lines 14.28 through 15.9. And then lastly, the Commissioner of Budget Management and Budget on lines 15.10 through 16.5. Article 2 of the bill begins on line 16.8, and that has to do with a policy that goes with appropriations that are in the bill. So in Section 1, you will see an increase in the number of leadership positions. In Section 2, you will see an, House File 3, which is implementation of audit recommendations. In Section 3, the Healthy Aging Subcabinet. And that goes all the way from page 17 to page 21 in the bill. Next, you will see in Section 4, the AG's office to expand the issuance of subpoenas. Section 5 is the monitoring office of the legislative auditor. This is part of Representative Nash's House File 3. Section 6 pertains to the advance deposit wagering 2% excuse me, 1% increase, allowing them to hold 2% of all of the amounts wagered. Section 7 is dealing with medical assistance fraud and other theft. Sections 8, 9, 10, and 11 have to do with CPA licensure. Section 12 has to do with Representative Joy's bill with the lottery. That is the lottery's, that's section 12, 13, 14, and 15 have to do with the lottery technical bill. Section 16, 17, and 18, so we're now on pages 31 through 36, have to do again with medical assistance fraud. Section 19 has to do with Representative Nash's report on open positions. Section 20 on page 38.9 is Representative Kraft's bill having to do with transit assistance and tying it to the web portal with Minnesota Benefits. Section 21 has to do with statue replacement in Statuary Hall in Washington, D.C. You will see in Section 22 the repealers. The repealers have to do with employee gain sharing report from management and budget, the Advisory Council on Infrastructure, which is on 39.4. The CPA substantial equivalence is on at line 39.6. And the medical assistance fraud piece that needed to be done is on 39.8. Article 3 has to do with business filing fraud and deceptive mailings, and this has to do with Representative Ryer's business fraud bill pertaining to the Secretary of State, and that is sections 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it goes on to section 9, I believe. Oh, and section 10 also. Actually, it goes all the way through the remainder of the bill. And I believe that is the walkthrough of the bill. And Mr. Sullivan can correct me if I've made an error. Nope, he says I'm good.
Okay, so thank you for the high-level walkthrough. Of course, would encourage members and people in the public to, you can download a copy of the bill if you'd like to on PDF from the House webpage. Or staff, if you're a member, can provide a copy for you if you don't want to take the one that's in front of you. We will now open it up for public testimony. Where's my list? Okay, thank you. We will start off with Deputy Commissioner Eichten, then we'll have Commissioner Campbell on deck and Commissioner Granvall in the hole. We'll have our testifier from Minute step forward. And as you're making your way up there, as always, please introduce yourself for the record and then proceed.
Good Chair Nash, Co-Chair Cleburne, members of the committee, good morning. For the record, my name is Brandon Hirsch, and I serve as Director of Government Relations for Minnesota IT Services. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today to the budget proposal in front of the committee. Commissioner Tomes and Deputy Commissioner Eichten send their regrets. They had some schedule changes and are unable to join us today. First, I'd like to acknowledge that this committee has been an instrumental partner in advancing digital services for Minnesotans, notably through the prior investments in past legislative sessions that enhance cybersecurity defenses, advance cloud transformation, and greatly accelerated application modernization. These investments and your continued partnership are instrumental for ensuring that we can deliver a modern, secure digital experience for Minnesotans. We also recognize the challenge of the current fiscal environment and the need to make difficult decisions during this legislative session. In light of that, I'd like to share a brief acknowledgement of the impact of the proposed budget in front of the committee. As committee members know, the Minutes General Fund base is our most agile and flexible funding source and directly supports many of the statewide leadership functions that we serve across the enterprise. The reductions in the budget may hinder Minutes' ability to continue some of those strong leadership functions, including reduced capacity to support some of the cybersecurity coordination efforts that we play across local governments, Minnesota Geospatial Office's ability to provide access to the most current statewide data for use by both public and private sector partners. That access, that coordination may be limited or delayed in its ability to acquire and provide that data sets. And finally, Minute may have less capacity to continue advancing the transformative leadership goals of the Technology Advisory Council. Again, we acknowledge the difficult budget picture in front of you and the need to make those difficult decisions, but did want to share the potential impact of some of those adjustments. We appreciate the opportunity to share those remarks with you and look forward to continued partnership throughout the remainder of the budget process.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Next, we have Commissioner Campbell.
And Chair Nash.
Chair Cleburne.
We can just remind the committee, these letters are in your packet today so that you will have an opportunity to follow along and then highlight the areas of most concern to the commissioners as they present their budget and as we go forward with our review.
And I believe those letters are also posted on the committee webpage for today. Commissioner Campbell, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Good morning, co-chairs Nash and Cleburne and committee members. For the record, my name is Erin Campbell, and I'm the commissioner at Minnesota Management and Budget. Thank you for the opportunity to comment on the omnibus state government finance bill in front of you today. We're grateful for the inclusion of the base funding for our agencies, but we do see a number of areas where we'd like to continue conversations as we work towards an enacted state budget. The DE2 provides an operating adjustment to MMB of $500,000 per year, which is short of the $891,000 in FY26 and the $1.806 million in subsequent years recommended by the governor. Agencies, including MMB, face rising costs each year due to increases in employer-paid health care contributions, FICA and Medicare, along with other salary and compensation-related costs. Other operating costs like rent, lease, fuel and utilities, and IT and legal services also grow. We'd hope the committee would consider adopting the governor's recommended levels of operating budget as the bill progresses through the process. Missing in this bill is a proposal from the governor's recommendations to fund enhanced oversight capacity at MMB. This also overlaps with the governor's package on anti-fraud proposals. Minnesotans expect robust oversight of their state government and the expenditures of public funds. MMB has identified several investments needed to meet the expectations for our various oversight activities. This proposal recommended by the governor includes resources for the Internal Controls and Accountability Unit, which provides tools, consults with agency partners, and tracks resolution of audit findings. statewide payroll services to provide additional oversight and compliance reviews of agency payroll activities. Enterprise Labor Relations to provide additional oversight and compliance on the implementation of collective bargaining agreements. Our Accounting Services Division to engage agency partners in the review and update of statewide financial management policies and procedures. With regard to the Healthy Aging Subcabinet, we appreciate the discussions that we've had with Chair Cleavorn over the interim about lifting up issues related to aging Minnesotans. In a time of constrained resources, we would caution against the function of adding a new function if ongoing agency operations continue to be underfunded in the bill. We would also appreciate the opportunity to work with the committee on this provision, especially to determine if the appropriation provided in the bill aligns with the requirements and responsibilities of the new entity and the nature of the responsibility. Finally, we would ask the committee to consider the governor's recommendation, which includes the expansion of agency operating budget carry forward authority to allow agencies to uniformly carry forward unexpended non-grant operating appropriations for the second year of the biennium into the next biennium. This would provide an important tool to help manage cost pressures and would align the executive branch with the carry forward authority already granted to the legislature for the management of its finances. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today, and I look forward to working with you as we enact a balanced budget.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Next, we have Commissioner Granvall. Welcome to the committee, and as always, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Good morning, Chair Nash and Chair Cleavorn and committee members. It's good to see all of you again. I'm Tamar Granvall. I'm the commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Administration. Admin's primary role is to help government best serve Minnesotans. We're a central service agency with a wide-ranging set of responsibilities that ultimately touches every part of the state government and provides services to all Minnesota communities. I acknowledge the difficult decisions that the chairs have to make in this budget, and I want to thank you for recognizing the need to fund an increase in lieu of rent. This appropriation funds the known costs of operations and maintenance around the Capitol area for entities that do not pay for their lease spaces. These include Capitol grounds, legislative facilities, and space for veteran service organizations. Additionally, extending Capitol Mall design framework funding will allow for completion of the first phase that is currently underway on the Capitol complex. As you work through the committee conference process, I encourage you to fund Governor Walz's recommendation for an increase in admin's operating budget. This appropriation covers growing expenses for health care, compensation, utilities, and IT. Demand for the agency's general fund services has grown over time without any operating adjustment. Service delivery will be impacted. Additionally, I hope you will include policy language to establish the state building renewable energy storage and electric vehicle account. This $0 request would enable admin to leverage federal funds for renewable energy and energy storage upgrades at state-owned facilities, which reduces costs. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I look forward to working with each of you through the conference committee process, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate your time to be here today. Next, we have Devin Bruce. And then we will have Deputy Commissioner Lee Ho. Mr. Bruce, welcome to committee. As always, please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Devin Bruce. I am the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the Minnesota Association of Professional Employees, MAPE. We represent over 18,500 state employees across all agencies, boards, and commissions. I first want to recognize the difficult decisions that were made in assembling the budget bill, not only as we face incredible challenges on the fiscal front, but under unique circumstances, the legislature, particularly the House, finds itself in negotiating essentially a conference committee during a normal committee session before we even reach the agreements with the Senate. That being said, we ask that the committee reconsider many of its proposals, specifically on the funding of operating adjustments that agencies have already put forward on already very slim margins, particularly in this budget, that further makes cuts to both admin and minute services, while simultaneously increasing the scope of their work. Many of the department's proposals were already challenging to begin with and will be further stressed by the governor's return to office directive as many agencies, including Department of Administration, Revenue, and MMB, seem to have been relying on the savings to both overhead and lease space that they would now have to look for cutting back on some of those savings. Cutting the Department of Admin and Admin Services, whose role is critical in finding operational efficiencies for all state agencies, is counterintuitive to the objective of saving taxpayer dollars and similarly undermines their increased role in preventing fraud in agency and state government programs. We ask that if this proposal does move forward, you fully fund and equip the workforce to do the job at the levels that you require and expect of them, as does the public. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bruce. Deputy Commissioner Ho, once you get settled, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Chair Nash, Chair Cleavorn, members of the committee, my name is Lee Ho. I'm the Deputy Commissioner at the Department of Revenue. Thank you for the opportunity to speak about revenue's budget, and thank you for the committee's continuing support of a strong revenue system. We appreciate the work of the chairs in putting together this amendment and their consideration of the governor's proposed budget. As you know, revenue administers over 30 tax types that collect over $33 billion to support the future for all of Minnesota, including state programs that support education, health, transportation, agriculture, and families. These tax types generate over 6 million transactions and share common operations, providing taxpayers assistance and processing refunds and payments. In addition, revenue continues to invest in technologies and other process improvements to create efficiencies and enhance the customer experience. For example, we're providing more self-service options to help taxpayers access their information and interact with us electronically without speaking to a live agent. Revenue faces increased costs each year to support technology, people, and administrative expenses. Fully funding the governor's proposed recommendation will ensure that the revenue system continues to provide expected service levels, state revenues, and safeguards against fraud. Additional budget reductions will impact service levels, state revenues, and fraud prevention, resulting in weakened levels of tax compliance. Reductions to services will increase call wait times for taxpayers needing assistance and delay refunds. Taxpayers needing assistance are often those who are not represented by tax professionals. During peak times, callers may wait over an hour for an agent. In addition, refund delays in turn generate more calls when taxpayers are looking for their refund. This adds delays to the call response time. Reductions in audit and collection activities mean less revenue for the state. On average, the department collects over $2 for each dollar invested in these operations, and individually, this can be much more. Reductions in state workers and systems that support tax processing also weaken our ability to prevent fraud and build trust to support the voluntary compliance of individuals, businesses, and tax professionals who make the current system work at an effective cost. Revenue is also working with the tax and other committees on potential reductions and other changes in agency programs. Thank you again for the opportunity to talk about revenue's budget. We look forward to working with you.
Deputy Commissioner Ho, thank you for being here this morning. Appreciate it. Next, we have Justin Stofferon from, I think, Minnesota Farmers Union, sorry. Sometimes I don't always get all the notes. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Nash, Chair Cleavorn, committee members. My name is Justin Stofferon. I'm the Anti-Monopoly Director at the Minnesota Farmers Union, and I appreciate the opportunity to share some brief thoughts on the appropriation for the Attorney General's office in this budget. Farmers need fair and competitive markets, and MFU members believe that strong antitrust enforcement is a key part of that. Because of the investment the legislature has made in recent years, the Attorney General's office has been able to establish a standalone antitrust division that's brought some really important cases in recent years. This includes cracking down on price fixing in the meat industry, anti-competitive conduct amongst pesticide manufacturers, and against the monopolization of the market, the repair market for tractors and combines. That's why I want to start by thanking the committee for protecting this progress, particularly amidst a really challenging budget environment. However, consolidation is pervasive across Minnesota's economy, impacting not just farmers, but workers, consumers, small businesses, and more. That's why I believe that the committee has a letter from a coalition of organizations, including ours, voicing support for the Attorney General's proposed budget, which would increase capacity at the Antitrust Division and also make the Consumer Litigation Account a revolving fund. That's an account that supports multi-state litigation, like the cases I mentioned earlier, and having that dedicated source of revenue would be really impactful to being able to continue to bring these important cases. So as the committee completes its work on this budget, I hope that you'll keep those proposals in mind for consideration. I thank you for the opportunity to testify and happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time here today. That's the list that we had for those that signed up ahead of time, but we do have the ability to take testimony from people who did not. If you would like to, don't all rush. It's okay. There you go. Please head to the testifiers table, introduce yourself for the record, and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Chair Clehorn. My name is Jill Schertz. I'm the Executive Director and Chief Investment Officer of the Minnesota State Board of Investment. We, in total, manage about $150 billion among a number of clients, including the three state pension plans, as well as a large amount of state assets. Today, we're here to address any questions you may have about a DE amendment that was included originally in the bill before us, but did not make it into the current bill before you. To be clear, our understanding is that there's one provision in particular where there were questions in that amendment. Those dealt with reconciling or aligning the treatment of mortgage-backed securities and asset-backed securities with the current treatment provided in the statute for high yield. While we believe that this is an appropriate change, I acknowledge that this is something that we'd be happy to hold over until next year, where we can go and have one-on-one conversations with each of you to make sure you're comfortable with this change. What we would really like to focus on, and we believe is necessary to get done this year, is the main part of our proposals. In large part, those proposals are about modernizing our reporting and billing process. Currently, statutory provisions 11A04 and 11A07 give the board of the SBI broad authority to recover costs for the expenses we incur in the management of all the portfolios we serve. And 11A07 provides the process for us to recover those costs. What we're trying to do when we say we're modernizing those is recognizing that we've grown substantially since those statutes were originally put into effect, and that we provide different levels of service and oversight for different clients. We want to make sure that we can recognize that in our billing. As well, the changes are meant to simplify the end-of-year reconciliation process we go through with some of our clients. There are also several administrative changes we're proposing. We think they're fairly simple and clear. One, we're required currently to produce an annual report. We think this is a very important report, incredibly rich in detail and transparency. However, currently the deadline is December 31st. That deadline does not take into account that we're subject to very significant audit, necessary audit. We're in audit for approximately 6 or 7 months of the year. This year, for example, is very typical. That audit did not finish until early January. We got our clean audit opinion on January 7th. We can't produce that annual report until we have that clean audit opinion. Given the depth and level of data in that report, it takes us several weeks, if not a full 30 days, once we receive that audit letter. We simply want to acknowledge that that report should not be produced until we receive our clean audit opinion. Thank you, chairs. I'd be happy to stand for any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Schertz. I think the chair and I can jot some of those things down and discuss them before we hit Thursday. So, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The question I would ask for the Board of Investment is, with this annual report date, would you prefer language that says 60 days after completion of the audit, or would you prefer a date certain?
Ms. Schertz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the way that we've drafted is we're trying to give us some flexibility upon the completion of the audit, but make sure that this can't lag forever. So I believe we've drafted it with a drop dead of the end of the first quarter.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much for your testimony. Anyone else wishing to testify? Once, twice?
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. We can then, Chair Cleburne?
Is there no further testimony?
I've sandbagged long enough. I've seen nobody rocket out of their chair.
So disappointing. I would like to just thank all the members of the public and the employees of the administration who came to testify this morning. These are incredibly difficult times when we look at how to best make sure that to ensure that government works for the people of Minnesota. So it is a balance between the requests of the administration and the requests of the public. And we are trying to be very thoughtful about it. Your words matter. You have been heard this morning, and we will take this back into consideration and work with our colleagues in the Senate as well to see how we can best balance and manage the desires of the public and the needs of the administration in delivering those services. So I thank everyone for their time, and I ask that House File 2783 be laid over today.
Very well. Before I bang the gavel to lay it over, I'll just say that Chair Cleburne and I and our staff worked very hard. We took many things into consideration, but once again, each of you sort of acknowledged the pending difficulties that we're having and the commensurate challenges and choices that have to get made. In a perfect world, obviously, we'd like to do everything we can, but I feel from my perspective, we did. Our team worked very hard together. We kept our nonpartisan staff, I think we were there in like 11 p.m. one night. So thank you very much to the two of you. But this is the bill that we have, and I think that certainly wanted to make sure that we jotted down the SBI notes that we still have the ability to change before we get here on Thursday. Thursday is when this bill will be marked up. We will have it before the committee with the intent of voting it out. So with Madam Chair, you have a look on your face.
Well, I just realized that we didn't ask Ms. Roberts if she wanted to add anything to this conversation.
She says no.
Perfect. Then I just want to make she works so hard, and she is both our nonpartisan team. They're just incredible, and I just wanted to make sure that we didn't leave those voices out if they needed to be heard.
No, they were great. I like to brag on them to people that Ms. Roberts probably knows where every nickel in our budget resides, and Mr. Sullivan can actually quote chapter and verse on statute from memory. So we're blessed to have them. So, members, that is everything we have for today, and with that, 2783, as amended, is laid over. Members, we have absolutely nothing else to do, so we are adjourned.